but Erin said that she wouldn't be here for the whole thing tonight?
She told me she would not be here tonight.
Okay.
Okay, so excused. Okay.
As long as she notified someone.
And Mike is going to just
running
be late?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Certification of compliance.
We are. It was posted on August 30th and September 4th.
Okay. Apparently, I'm supposed to do the times too. So 6:02. We're on the UW System Board of Regents agreement.
This is just a point of information to let the committee know that it's usually this time of the year that the agreement comes for our agreement with the county for the 40% of our salaries. And that will go per the new contracting policy of the county board, that will go to the county executive. It's an administrative contract. So that's just a point of information to let people know that will be happening this month in September.
Now, I believe Mike was on the committee last time. In case you're wondering, this now has to go to the executive, and he signs it instead of our committee.
I don't think I was on there yet.
You may not have been at the meeting. Could be.
Oh, okay.
Is that the meeting? Because we were in the other room.
Does
this sound familiar? Okay.
6:03 is UW Extension Director updates.
Couple of them. Many of you are aware because Chairman Bruning announced at the county board meeting that Kristen Lee resigned and she has taken on a new position with Habitat for Humanity in Milwaukee. Yeah, as their grant writer. And so her last day was last Friday the 7th. We had a potluck lunch.
Yes.
Oh, you didn't invite me.
Yeah, a big potluck lunch.
I wasn't invited either.
That position will not be refilled. Okay, just so you know, we're not going to refill that position. It had been previously on grant funds from the beginning. The other piece of information I wanted to share is that as part of the Extension Committee, or the PDEC Committee here in the Extension portion, you are, and I think I've mentioned this previously, you are members of the State Association of County Extension Committees, affectionately known as WASAC. Has a nice acronym. Everything's acronyms in extension. WACEC. And the East Metro region of which Kenosha County would be a part of, East Metro region goes from Kenosha County to Marinette. It's a big, long slice of the state. They're having their regional meeting on October 19th. Typically, I'll just be very frank, our four counties, Racine, Kenosha, Milwaukee, and Waukesha, we have historically not participated regularly in WASAC because they meet during the day. We have a county board that meets in the evening, which I bet you probably already know this. It goes against the rest of the state. You know, it's like the rest of the state operates on a daytime. All their board and committees meet during the daytime. You're an anomaly. There aren't too many that meet in the evening. So I just wanted to let you know that so that you.
How did anyone look? Like everybody retired on the county board?
Certainly limits who's going to be able to be served on the county board,
right?
Doesn't it?
And who can attend those meetings and voice their opinions.
And when I worked in Sheboygan, we met for these meetings at 9 a.m. on Wednesdays. So, and once again, everyone on the committee, all the electeds were retired. So. And it would take the retired electeds to change the way that would work. So it's like, what comes first,
right?
The chicken or the egg? Yeah.
So I guess you either have retired people or make it a full-time position where that's your only job.
Another item I wanted to bring up was the Country Thunder economic analysis. I really thought today I would have a bit of some preliminary data to share with you. The only thing I know at this point is there were close to 600 surveys returned, and we have a conference call with the Professor Marcullier on Friday and his grad assistant who's in charge of it on Friday. So I'm hopeful that we're going to get stronger, a little bit more of what their preliminary results are, and then think about how that will be presented probably in October. They did.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
That's pretty exciting.
That's pretty cool, isn't it?
That's just really neat.
I hope to find out on Friday. I hope Alan knows who. If not, I will find out, though.
What is the holdup with the results?
I honestly think it was probably a miscommunication between me and the grad student. I asked if I could have some preliminary results ready for tonight's meeting, and he said, sure, but I'd really like to also schedule a conference call. He went ahead and scheduled the conference call, but I didn't get any of the results. So I think that was just miscommunication on our part. And then lastly, my piece is to bring you up to speed on the process for our full-time community development, community natural resources and economic development position. You know, Steve's in the position now as an interim. We're going to fill it as a full-time faculty position. On October 3rd, that's a Tuesday morning, I believe. No, Wednesday morning. That's a Wednesday morning. If you're available and would want to be a part of this process, I've invited stakeholders in that particular, in those different program areas, to be a part of a visioning session. That particular program area is community development or organizational development, natural resources, which is environment and sustainability, and economic development. So it's like three very distinctly different kinds of programs. So I'm inviting stakeholders throughout the community from each of those areas to come to a visioning session to help us think through what are some of the priorities from your perspective in Kenosha County in those areas, to kind of help inform what the priorities for that program area should be. So it's October 3rd, 7:30 a.m. at the Bank of Kenosha. And that's on 52nd Street and Green Bay Road. So as soon as I have an agenda put together for that, I will email that to you so that you can be included in that if you're willing and able and like to participate. Okay? That'll help us inform that process. That's all I have.
608 is our feature program, Community Natural Resources, Economic Development Programs Update.
Well, Teddy just gave it to you.
I know.
No, I do. Okay, let's make sure this thing works.
Everybody thinks it's a calculator. It's not a calculator. It looks like a calculator. It's disguised as a calculator. Everybody press your button. Maybe we can all make it.
I wonder if it resets when you turn it off.
Press the buttons at once.
So what is the input? Only because I have
it in there.
What PR did.
This is not how it worked the other five times I tried this.
Of course, you know that's how it always is.
That's
the room
exactly
is here.
How it always goes.
It always goes that way.
Should we have Barb do hers while we're waiting?
Yeah, I was going to say, why don't we do the updates?
All right.
That's a mighty big squash.
Oh.
It is a mighty big squash.
It's you.
Barb gets all the fun stuff.
So I thought I would go from the sublime to the ridiculous today. And just kind of share some of the interesting things that come into the office related to horticulture. So Monday afternoon, because I was at a meeting in Madison, we don't have master gardeners on Monday afternoon, so we ended up getting three very distinctive, very different kinds of samples in. And so I thought I'd just, so it gives you kind of an idea of the breadth of kind of the work we do. So we had one gentleman who brought in a dead spruce branch and wanted to know what killed his tree overnight. There's nothing that would kill his tree overnight like that, especially like that. But a lot of people do think that, you know, because they don't look real often. So the Master Gardener volunteers talked with him today and talked him through it and said, you know, it's not an insect or disease problem. It's probably drought that was the problem. So anyway, we did that.
So that's just a quick question.
Yeah.
Absolutely. On that one, was it an elderly gentleman? Younger.
It was an elderly gentleman.
Okay, so it just kind of maybe didn't look as, because I'm not kidding you, my next door neighbor's got one of them, and it didn't die overnight. I looked at one. I got about two or three of them things right in my nose, you know, with you, with this. It's like, what should I report to him? Yeah, it's drought.
It's drought. And I'll confess, I have one that looks like this too, and I ought to know better.
Yeah. Why would you have the lower branches maybe die out?
That is a disease on especially the Colorado or the blue spruces. And that's probably what's happening. And I will try to remember to send you something tomorrow about that. There's not a darn thing you can do about it, though.
I've been cutting off the lower branches,
yes.
And that's about all they've been doing. It's just like, I thought the kids were pulling the leaves off.
No. The answer
it's right
is,
by the bus stop.
Yeah. The answer is don't plant blue spruce.
Oh.
They don't like our weather.
Now.
Yeah, I know.
They
know.
Don't like it. Okay.
I know. We try to tell people don't plant them, and people go, "I like them. I'm going to plant them anyway." Okay, and then they look like.
What's recommended?
We since this isn't a horticulture.
Yeah,
I'm
sorry.
Don't
yeah,
stuff.
Bar.
Okay, so our next one was a homeowner brought this in, wanted to know, which cracks me up. Is it edible?
No.
So it is a squash. The problem was that she had planted yellow winter squash last year. She saved the seeds and replanted, and this is what she got this year. Well, what happened is it crossed with another squash or something and came. This is what she got out. So, again, the Master Gardeners handled that. This is my kind of show and tell for... the most important sample we got in, not that these weren't important to the people that had these questions, came from one of our local nurseries, garden centers, and they are growing a perennial. They got it in 3 weeks ago, and they're dying. They came in plugs, which are the little tiny ones, and they're dying. So I took a look at them, and it looked to me like they're diseased. I don't have the lab ability to be able to do a definitive diagnosis. Called them back, strongly suggested that they send samples to the University Plant Clinic, which then I packed those up today and sent them off. So within 10 days to 2 weeks, we will have an answer for this producer as to what is going on with their plants, why are they losing them. They've already lost 120 plants. Which, you know, you think about, they're not that horribly expensive coming in, but think these are perennials, so at some point those are probably going to sell for anywhere from $15 to $20. So potentially a major economic loss. So, you know, I usually talk about the classes and things. This is a way that we're also supporting the industry. Okay.
So this is the pot?
Well, this is the pot it came in. This is what they look like, and I had to dump them out, wash the roots out, and pack them up, and send them. I think between you and me, this is one of the problems, is that these pots are reused, which is fine, but if they're not sanitized really well, then you can potentially get fungal diseases and rots. So we will see though what the plant pathologist said. All right.
It's a squash edible?
It is edible. And I'm going to try to make squash soup for our thank you that we do for the Master Gardeners later on this. I'll let you know.
Here, let me look it up.
By the way, she told me this was a small one.
Really?
No, there's no picture.
Wow.
Okay.
Steve, you're up.
Okay. Welcome to part two of my presentation. This is intimidating. You've had bugs, kind of nourished your antibodies. You've had food that kind of nourished your bodies. I am going to nourish your brain, and I'm sure you're all going to look forward to that. And I'm also moving Kenosha County into the technology area, which I'll tell you about in a minute. Yeah, thank you, Beth. I want to talk to you just a little bit about my program, the Conrad program, and then I'm going to give you a demographic profile of the county that has been worked on by myself and the dear departed Kristen much of the past year, just to give you an idea of where Kenosha stands in terms of its demographics, its population, social qualities, and its economics. But first, just give you a really brief rundown on the Conrad program. As Teddy said, Conrad stands for Community Natural Resource and Economic Development. And these are the major areas of education that's done in the Conrad program. So it does include economic development, leadership, organization development, strengthening local governments, and natural resources. Just one at a time, economic development is typically what you would think it is. Strengthening local economies, improving quality of life, and that sort of thing. Within Extension, there are centers which have specialists in various disciplines. Two of the centers that would definitely be at our disposal in economic development are the Center for Community and Economic Development, recently enough, and the Center for Land Use Education. These are the kind of resources at the University of Wisconsin that we channel to our counties as educators. Leadership and organizational development is really where my focus has been over the past year. One of the reasons for that is that they've been fairly short-term projects. Since I'm limited to a year, I pretty much had to tape on things that could be accomplished within that year. And this is a program where we help community organizations and local government, if we are needed, to strengthen their organizations to better serve their communities, to be more efficient, to budget better, to run their boards more effectively, and so on. These are five programs that I have worked on in the past almost a year. The Creating Organizational Wellness Series, the COWS program, has been going on in partnership with United Way for some years now, and that's where we present programs once a month to the nonprofit community. Most of those who come are small nonprofits who really need a lot of technical assistance. They don't have much in the way of professional resources at their disposal. I've reported to you before on the Kenosha Public Museum strategic plan, and I'm also working on the Peace Learning Circle strategic plan. They're a very small organization. They've been in business several years, but they need to step it up. And we're going through a process that will take them through some important decisions over the next couple of years. I also put together with Kristen the United Way Community Snapshot. I'll tell you more about that in a minute. And worked with the county ARDC. Strengthening Local Government program is there to train folks like themselves. The Local Government Center provides a number of training opportunities and written materials that you download from the internet. And there are just four of many training areas that you can that we can connect you with through the LGC. Natural Resources tends to focus on environmental resources and waste disposal. And the Solid and Hazardous Waste Education Center, or SHWEC, we do have a lot of that, right? SHWEC, educates on dealing with e-waste, solid waste, that, as it would suggest to you. The Center for Land Use Education also has a major role in taking a more conservation approach to natural resources for local communities. United Way project was to basically update their 2004 community priority setting process. Kristen and I put together this document for them. They wanted a short, easily used document. I didn't bring copies to give away, so I'm just going to pass that around for you to take a look at what we did. We partnered with United Way, and we did the data collection analysis on their three areas of priority: education, health, and income. And you'll see all of those indicators represented in there. It was a data-intensive effort. not a lot of writing. You won't see many words in there. And we needed to put it in a kind of a form that would be easily accessible to the community, not something thick, not real dense, some color and so forth. We ended up with that, which we think was pretty effective. I also worked with the Aging and Disability Resource Center of the county. Again, in terms of the demographics, we had to make sure that their needs assessment process reached all parts of the county, reached all parts, all segments of the residents of the county. So, at least all with regard to age and disability, that is. So we weren't really looking at youth, we weren't looking at middle age, but we had to actually be accessible to those two because a lot of caregivers are children of elderly or disabled people. So we had to make sure that this process was designed to have meetings that had the right stakeholders in the room and be representative of the population as a whole. When we do this, because we're an educational institution and we're associated with the University of Wisconsin, what we put out has to be credible, it has to be utterly defensible, and basically factual. We don't make judgments about these things. We don't give advice that's, you know, kind of our personal points of view. We work on information, we work on verifiable information. So some of the sources of the information that you see in there and that you'll see in this presentation are from well-established sources. Now, you've got what we call in the business a clicker in front of you. Yeah, that's it. The clicker is numbered 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, etc., A, B, C, D, E, etc. And I'm going to show you some questions interspersed through this, and you push the button that you think is the right answer. I'm trying to cheat out. This isn't a quiz. I could set it up so that it records your votes and who's right and who's wrong and scores you on it, but I'm not going to do that. Next time I will.
I think we should. Everything's a contest.
It's competitive. That's right. It's election year. Okay, just to give it a try, what do you think? What was Kenosha County's population change from 2000 to 2010? Was it more than 10%? 0 to 10%? Decreased 0 to 10%? Or decreased more than 10%? Is anybody done? Okay, more than 10%. Not bad. 11.3% increase. Did a little better than Kenosha, which still recorded almost a 10% population increase.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. See it on here.
City, county.
Oh, we haven't even got
that. No, I can get your copy. Okay, a little historical factoid from 1850. 2010, how much did Kenosha's population increase by?
Is there a significance to 1850? Is that like when we started or something?
Well, 1840 was the United States.
Oh, I'm not, okay, I didn't take Wisconsin history, so.
Yeah, it's pretty much where
the county was established in 1850.
Boom!
Okay, that's right. So that's why I wanted to know if that was like a
story. I only know that because I looked on the logo and it's on the logo.
Yeah, so like something I should know. Okay.
Now, there were people here before that.
This is a lot of pressure.
Oh, so are you cheating? You're looking at
go big or go home.
Okay,
so.
This
is the ID.
Let's see. Everybody
ready? I was going
to see. Very good. Very good.
And.
More than 15 times. And there we are, a little village of about 10,000 up to about 166,000 today. That's useless information, isn't it? Okay. Where did the population, I mean, getting up to date, where has that population change happened? Pretty much where you would expect. In the growth areas and Bristol, Mount Pleasant, a little less so, Somers, or not Bristol, Salem, Pleasant Prairie. I lived in Racine for a while.
So yeah, I
just Mount Pleasant. Pleasant Prairie.
Making that transition.
It's okay.
Yeah, anyhow.
Both very pleasant.
That's right.
Very pleasant. where else do people come? They move in, they move out. So a little bit about migration patterns. There's too much information on here to look at, but the bottom line is in 5 years, Kenosha County netted 979 people from migration. So pretty much, a wash. In terms of money, those people represented about $2.3 million in additional income coming into the county. Now, there are other ways you can look at that information. Coming from the same data source, this was in Forbes magazine. This shows where people left to go to and where they came from. So they came to Kenosha from the Chicago area, naturally, a couple spots in Wisconsin, a couple spots in Michigan. They went to, I don't know what that is,
North Carolina.
No, it's Virginia. It could be Norfolk or something like that. Anyway, Fort Myers, Tampa, the Twin Cities, a few places within the state, Houston, Austin, Dallas, Maricopa County, which is Phoenix, Henderson County, Nevada, which is Las Vegas, and then L.A., San Bernardino, San Diego. So whatever you want to make of that. But one thing to make of it is that people,
they're retiring.
Definitely moving.
Yeah.
I think they're retiring. To a warmer place.
Cold climate. Yeah.
So what's the population looking like today? What do you think the percentage of people under 20 is? Percentage of,
okay,
let's call
Colin
them
Bianca, it's on you guys.
Children and teens.
You guys know this.
0 to 10. 10 to 20% or more than 20%. In case you're wondering what to point at, you're pointing at that, but it doesn't matter.
All.
More than 20%, you're good. 29%, in fact, is under 20 years, 65 and older, 11%. Those in this room are in this group. God, I'm still in that group. And where that population is darker, of course, is a higher concentration. So children, purple areas, you can see kind of a concentration in the city and in the suburbs. But these groups are really pretty scattered. It's hard to make any kind of blanket statement about patterns. Yeah. Although you will see that older people are in the central city at much lower densities than I would have expected. And then basically, this is census data.
Well, that's where the golf courses are, right?
Census data was taken on April 1st. If they were golfing on April 1st, you must have been there. Yeah.
So again, Steve, the darker the shade, the higher the density. Okay.
Oh, these old folks?
These are the old folks.
Yeah, these are the old folks.
That's right. Well, yeah, what's that big chunk down there?
It's like an arrow.
Yeah. What's that?
I don't know.
These, why would there be so many people in
retirement communities?
They can be. No. This can be skewed by retirement communities, by nursing homes.
It's still in Pleasant Grove. Is it still Pleasant Grove?
Is that over by the Target? What's that nursing home that's right behind it?
Oh, yeah, all those nursing homes.
Oh, yeah.
Assisted living.
Yeah, there are some newer ones.
Yeah.
Got the hospice alliance.
Yeah. For census purposes, that's their
official residence. Right. Yeah, right.
And then what about way out in Brighton? There's a nice little square.
Square up there, yeah.
Is that like some commune out there?
Yeah.
I know it's my area. I'm thinking, what the hell's
out there? Wow.
That is interesting. That's
a
whole different
story. That's a grab.
But the population, it's density, right? So if there's not that many people, you have like five people.
These are census blocks, so that's a census block. It could be that this is 60 to 100% density. There could be two residences there with everybody over 65, something like that. But do you know it's a golf course?
Well, no.
So that's where they all went?
That's not Brightdale. Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
No, Brightdale's further west.
Further south.
Yeah, further south, for sure.
This is also too much information. I just want to spotlight a couple of things for you. In these age ranges 45 and up, I hesitate to call anything below this line older. But we're seeing growth in this older population quite a lot. Younger population, 25 and younger, is growing a little bit. In the middle, no change, 25 to 34 year old, a decrease in 35 to 44 year olds. What this means is that these people are either out of the workforce or are about to be out of the workforce. These people are your future workforce. And those in the middle are kind of the prime earning family raising years. Take those numbers, you know, for what you will. But it's a very interesting dynamic.
Big jump in 45 to 54 there over, was it 2000?
Yes. Yeah, 2010. Sorry, 2010 is the main bar.
So that's interesting compared with the 35 to 44.
Yeah.
Because it's like opposite.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, or the price of property here has increased to a point where you almost need to earn enough money to buy something if you're not already here.
Right, you know, in that range, maybe that's some migration out of, you know, Lake County area, yeah. You know, up here. So. But they certainly have, that's the area where you have kids, you know. And
right.
Schools are important, I think. Mm-hmm. That, not that you don't have your 30s and 40s.
They're on their way out.
Yeah.
Might be at college, but, or high school
or
college.
Maybe
near house.
Racial composition, 84% white, pretty much as you would expect. The predominant second race is black African American. There's some other race, it's 5%, and then the rest have small numbers.
Some other race? But no descriptor on that. Or a big mixture.
It's probably a big
often
mixture.
Often people exactly. Put that down for is if they don't want to say.
Okay, fair enough.
Or,
and you're right, this is off the census, right?
Black
yeah.
Hispanic.
Correct. Yeah, that's what they have. They mark the boxes of the census.
I would think Hispanic would, you know, have
yeah.
Kind of a.
Yeah, there's some flexibility.
That's the ethnicity,
yeah.
Though. There's a difference between ethnicity
yeah.
And race.
And race.
Right?
Yeah, and I was doing the same
yeah.
Thing.
Yeah,
yeah.
You might want to explain that.
I understand.
Why Hispanic didn't show up on that slide?
Because Hispanics can be either white or black.
Or other.
Or
they're often. Yeah. More than.
Yeah, because you may find a lot of Hispanics with some native blood. Ancestry, particularly if they're from Central America. So there are a lot of ways it can work. And who knows if they have Asian parentage or Pacific Islander parentage. So it gets very confused when you start trying to classify people. And it's almost an obsolete. African American population concentration, again, as you'd expect in the central city, a little bit of scattering through the county. A little different for the Hispanic population. Again, there's a concentration here, but then a little more out in the towns, too. The Asian population, although it looks like there's some concentration here, we're talking very, very small numbers in total. Some of these blue squares may be one person or two people. There's only about 1,600 people who report to be Asian in the county. And what I think is interesting is language. 90% of people speak English as their primary part of your language at home. 6.87% are Spanish, and then again, a very small smattering of the rest. Almost 10% of the housing units in the county are vacant. Of those that are not vacant, about 68% are owner-occupied. So that's a pretty high owner-occupancy rate in the county. The vacancies, though, are interesting. This shows where the vacancies are in the county. And you'll notice pretty much right away that the highest concentration of vacancies
are waterfronts. Well, why would that be?
High taxes.
No, can't afford them anymore.
Okay.
How does a second home look?
You're onto it, I think.
So if it's my second home, well, we'd be vacant.
Out around Lake Mary and like that's like
summer homes.
All the summer homes,
area.
Yeah.
That's definitely summer homes.
Yeah.
So it's reported as a property, but not owner occupied.
Well, I can tell you this, Twin Lakes is probably owned by three quarters of it's owned by Illinois, right?
Not occupied.
Not
remember,
occupied.
The census is a point in time survey.
Yep.
It's April 1st.
No one's there yet.
And they're not there. So their primary residence is somewhere else. Mm-hmm. Which is really.
Hmm. I know that whole quarter where I live is all gone.
Yeah. Yeah, this map is just
on the
real
side.
It's not very peaceful around here.
Is your house vacant?
Don't tell me
your house is vacant. Okay. Home ownership rates. Again, the darker the color, the higher the ownership rate, where you'd expect to find them in the growth areas in the suburbs. Something that's very interesting is how low the home ownership rate is in the central city. And that particular spot where all the new housing is out on the harbor is largely,
right? You mean the condos on the right are rented?
It could be, just by looking at that map. No, they may be owned, but rented out. So it's very hard to divine that kind of information from this. Let's think about children some more. What percentage of the county households are children?
Children at home?
Yep. Yes.
Under a particular age or just in general? Because, you know, a lot of them are returning home.
Boomerangs.
Not like 35-year-olds.
It's over this. It's this.
Okay.
Ooh, look at us.
Oh, you add these up, it comes to 35%.
Wait, I'm still looking at that.
Whether single father, single mother, or a couple of children.
He's checking out the answers in here.
I'm sorry, she's being disruptive.
That's why she doesn't want paper.
That's right, no paper.
Chairperson, she put the screen up and then, you know, start looking at that, right?
True or false? More than half of the residents of the county have more than an higher or a high school education. More than high school.
Okay. Okay, I got that right.
I had confidence.
You add these up, it comes to 54%. So that's more than 54% high school graduate, 34, only 13% have less than high school education. That's not bad. Just a couple of things here about schools, just to give you a sense of the economic and social conditions there. This shows you the racial breakdown of KUSD, the other districts other than KUSD in the county, and then the county total, just the percentage breakdowns by race, male and female, which is interesting because usually there are more males or more females in the population than males. And then those eligible for free or reduced lunch, KUSD is at 50%, by far the highest. And that's an indicator of the economic situation of those families.
No, I know that. Look, can you go back, Steve?
Yep.
Well, that was the other.
But the county would include the city, though. So look at other school districts. So that's right. Everybody other than Kenosha Unified is 32.
Okay.
You do the county and the city, together. Then you get the 48.
Okay.
Even that, 32% of all the other districts.
Surprising.
I think Salem is up to 17%, which is almost a third.
be interesting to see that trend, too.
Yeah.
Economics are kind of on everybody's mind these days, so I've got a pretty good slug of economic data here. First, just to see how familiar you are with your economy, which is the largest employment sector. Retail, trade, manufacturing, finance, insurance, and real estate, or education, health, and social assistance. The largest one, manufacturing at 18, retail at 13. Finance, insurance, et cetera, is down pretty far down the list at 5%. These are obviously government jobs and hospitals and other health care. Some good jobs in there, includes doctors, nurses, and so forth. A lot of not so good jobs in that category. So between 2001 and 2010, how much did we grow in terms of jobs? More than 10%? Less than 10%? Decreased more than 10%?
See, tough stuff. I'm going. I want to know your data source on this one.
I can give that to you.
Nah, I'm not kidding.
That's really interesting. Anybody not vote?
What? Yeah. Really?
11.9%, in fact. And that includes the downturn in 2008-2009.
And Chrysler pulling out?
That is such a surprise.
Really?
I never would have guessed we'd increase. So I guess the kind of jobs we're increasing are totally different than the jobs we're losing.
Doctors and lawyers.
39% of your manufacturing jobs were lost in that period. 39%. That's Chrysler. Plus their suppliers and whatnot. So you do have to think about that real hard. What did we gain versus what did we lose? Any good economic development person will pick that up right away. What are those jobs? It isn't about numbers of jobs. It's about the quality of the jobs.
How about the income?
That's part of the quality of the
right.
job. And when you look at the largest employers, yeah, to healthcare, healthcare can be, you know,
these are
cardiac surgeons, they could be the people who wash the bedpans.
These are just in consumption.
Mm-hmm.
They're not including across the line.
Right. People who live here and work at Abbott are not counted.
Okay.
Well, right, because they're not Kenosha County
right.
employees. You've got a couple of classified as food processing, which if it's manufacturing, that's a good job. But you also have two in temporary health services,
yeah.
which are counted to the temporary health company. They may work at a hospital. They may work at Snap-on. But they're assigned to the staffing company. A lot of them, they will supply a whole different range of jobs, but they're temporary. That means they're often not well paid or not, or don't have benefits. And all that. So something, these things you keep in mind.
Well,
here
it does depend on what they're doing, because
yes.
some of them are
yeah.
skilled
oh, yes, absolutely.
And highly educated.
Absolutely.
The difference is many corporations use temporary services because they're in a hiring freeze, but they need help. So, you know, you pay for like flexibility. We, you know, at Johnson, we use a lot of, you know, contractors.
They get crazy too.
Because the flexibility gets you.
Sure. A lot of the guys would retire and come back as what do they call them?
Contractors.
What they call them, like consultants. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they make like almost double their pay.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because
you're
not
right.
They don't
need them.
They're
retired.
So speaking about
Abbott, see, that's a
do you think most Kenosha residents work in the county?
Oh my God, I got
one right.
I did.
I guess wrong.
I got it right.
It would be very unusual if they didn't. 52% work within the county, but that's a huge number, that 27%. But it makes perfect sense because you've got a metropolitan area of 8 million people just across the border. And that's a huge magnet for economic activity. So I don't think it's anything to worry about. I think more interesting is that working in other Wisconsin counties. So people are driving to Racine, Waukesha, and Milwaukee, and probably fair numbers. Just showing the unemployment trend of recent years. Basically, the trend is the same for all jurisdictions. That's the city of Kenosha, that's the county, that's the U.S., that's Wisconsin. Wisconsin is typically below the national average. Kenosha is typically above the national average, unless you go back to the 90s and before, when Kenosha, Racine, Milwaukee's unemployment rate was typically below the national average. But you see that basically everybody's following the same path. There's also an awful lot of information on this one, just how income groups break down. Basically, that line is $50,000 and under for a household, not individual, and the rest is $50,000 and over. There's your $200,000 and up, there's your $150,000 to $200,000. That's where we are. Median household income, this is by county. Basically, Kenosha, Racine, and Walworth are the same. Ozaukee, Waukesha, Lake County, McHenry County are the big dogs. They're in the upper 70s for income. Milwaukee, you don't want to be like that. It's a very low number. Where is that income? Basically, you're back in the growth area suburbs again, particularly lakefront. Percent living in poverty, the red line is 2010, the blue line is 2000. So there's been an increase in poverty every year in the country. We're still doing better than the United States rate. And poverty also is, again, where you would expect to see a concentration in the city. But this is also interesting out here. This is your final Jeopardy question. Mm-hmm. What is Kenosha County?
It's a state of mind.
It's a municipal subdivision of the state of Wisconsin. It's part of the Chicago Metropolitan Statistical Area. It's a state of mind. A great place to live, work, and play, or is it all of the above? Are all the votes in? They're all right. No wrong answers on that one.
What's the MSN, MSA?
Metropolitan Statistical Area.
Gotcha.
So there it is. A great place to live, work, and play. That's it. Thank you. Questions?
Not like you.
There's pieces in here.
Yeah.
Okay. It incorporates a lot of what's in there, but there's also a lot more that was done.
You're welcome.
And we also are going to be using this kind of demonstration for our presentation for our civil rights review, which is coming up in a couple of months.
Jumped over here. Whatever was tickling his nose is jumping.
There's disease in there.
Yeah. Okay, 6:50.
We have John yet.
Oh, John.
We don't want to.
And
John,
you've
got 10 minutes.
Go with the precedent.
No,
I got a less than 10. I'm going to break with the precedent. I'm going to hand out paper that you can hand back to me. Only because I just wanted you to take a quick
look at it.
So it's a rent, but not an own.
It's a rent. So lots of youth programs are starting up, but I wanted to just highlight Youth as Resources because you might work with other youth groups, and I wanted to show you how easy this grant application is. Real quick, Youth as Resources is a board. It meets on the second floor in the Kenosha County Administrative Building, so you might actually see us there. We meet the third Tuesday of the month. There's four adult volunteers and eight youth that serve on this board. They get money from the United Way, and their whole purpose is to grant this money out to other youth groups to do service work here in Kenosha County. So the grant application, you have it right in front of you. It's really simple. It's two pages. You fill it out, you ask for some money, and not you, but you guys, because you have to be a youth, which is 18 years or younger, to apply for money. And then the cool thing is that the board decides that night. The checks are basically written within a week, and they get out to the youth groups before the project occurs. And any youth group, because these are private funds from the United Way, any youth group can apply for funds. So if you know of any youth groups, please encourage them to fill applications, and life is good.
When are they due, John?
They are due. There's a granting meeting in October. There's a granting meeting in November. There's a granting meeting in February, and there's a granting meeting in March. So lots of flexibility as to when they come in. And we go from there. So highlighting that, 4-H has lots of big stuff coming up this month. This is our kickoff to the year, so lots and lots of meetings. We got that going on. And After School Ambassadors is just starting up, which is the tutoring and mentoring program. And we have a new coordinator to help us with that from Carthage College. Actually, a work-study student from Carthage is going to help us coordinate that. So that's my rambling thing. And if you don't want the applications, you can give them back to me because we created especially with no dates. So we can use the same grant application for years and years and years to come.
Good. When and why did you leave the chambers?
There was a decision. We used to meet in the chambers, 12 people on the board, and these youth would come in, and you guys know better than anyone how hard the chambers is to actually hear if you're not using the microphones and everything. So they thought, especially for the little kids asking for funds, that the second floor meeting room with the big table is a much more friendly environment. And so they made that move last year, and they decided to keep it there just so the youth can actually have dialogue. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Make this the dirt under my desk.
That was another benefit, too, of not messing up the supervisor's desks. So, that's my report.
You have a final question, right?
No, we're not.
What are you having here?
We are having a committee, a supervisor's committee.
Oh, I thought you were having a meeting tonight.
Excuse me.
You can.
Public comments.
And then, John, real quick, the other one that you mentioned, the ambassador.
After School Ambassadors, we recruit high school students to tutor and mentor in after school programs in the city. And so the problem with that is it takes a lot of energy and effort to go out and recruit high school students to do this. So we actually got a Carthage College student to dedicate 10 hours a week just to that sole purpose. And actually, she's starting to recruit not only high school students, but also college students from Carthage to help out. As you all know, budgets are tight, so we're looking at different ways we can support the kids in the elementary school program. So we're really excited about the program.
Cool.
Yeah.
Any questions?
Has that program kicked off yet? Because, you know, schools now, it's...
Great question. Actually, it will start kicking off next week because we have to let the after-school program start to function, and then we recruit. So I'd say within the next 2 weeks, we'll start having tutors and mentors going into the schools and actually working with the kids.
Is it primarily just the city of Kenosha, or do you cover any of the other?
No, primarily the city of Kenosha. And once again, it's tied to the 21st Century CLC funds, which is basically linked to poverty rates and those types of things.
Okay.
So now, could the program be easily adapted? Absolutely. It goes back to capacity. How much staff do we have to dedicate to it? So,
okay.
But I'm thinking it'll go big and get have high school students going and mentoring and tutoring all these kids. So, yeah.
Maybe some of our youth want to start that at their own high schools.
I already tried it.
Oh.
I'm in charge of our peer tutoring committee, and yes, I know it's very hard to recruit people. It's insane. You can't get anybody to do anything.
No, it's shocking. It's unfortunate.
It's horrible.
I don't know what.
Just a side note, I know KUSD especially has a service requirement. We got a call from somebody who's working with the e-school, which is the online school for KUSD, and one of their challenges is the students that participate in e-school still have the service requirement, and they want the service requirement to be in an interactive environment so they can use some social skills. So there might be a really good match to get some of these e-students going out and helping kids too. So lots of opportunities we're looking at. Well, you can sense my enthusiasm. I just think it's great, especially when the job market is so tight for high school students. Here's an opportunity to get some work skills as well. So, yeah.
Cool. Okay. Anything else?
Okay. We will adjourn to the next room.